podcast, Cinderella Chats. I'm your host, Cinderella Field. Yes, that's really my name, along with your co-host, Sandy Hunter. We are so excited to be here to share some insight about life, love, and relationships. So let's get to it. Hey, Sandy.
Hey, how are you, friend?
I am great. How about you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Good. Super excited about our new episode coming up here. I'm ready to talk.
Good. Good, good, good. So this kind of reminds me of the winds that we've had the last couple of days.
Yes.
And how, you know, violent they've been and blown up they've been and how everything has just been swirled around. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of a conversation, or not a conversation, but an article that Beverly Willett has written in the Washington Examiner.
Do tell.
Oh my gosh, this is why I said the last time, what has to be priority is the family. Okay.
Sure.
So she said during the recent brouhaha over the Trump administration's immigration policy, Vice President J.D. Vance drew fire for daring to say in an interview that love of family comes first in order of priorities. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the title of the article, by the way, is The Trump Administration Needs a Family Czar. Oh my gosh. I totally agree with
her. Love it.
Yes. And so she says how right he is. Marriage and family in the United States are in serious trouble. The Biden administration had a border czar. The Trump administration needs a family one. And Vance is ideal for the job. Well, Vance is busy. Okay. He's the vice president. And he's a devout, but he is a devoted, she goes on to say that he's a devoted family man and a devout Catholic who believes in the sanctity of marriage. Well, so do I. How about we just become the family czars?
Sounds
and
good.
The marriage is ours. I mean, come on, Trump. I mean, you need a woman on this job.
They do.
Yes.
Perfect.
Not that he's not perfect, but I mean, you know,
yeah, no.
He could sit in on the meetings with us. He is quite handsome.
He can help us connect.
But anyway, she goes on to say the marriage rate has plummeted to its lowest rate in recorded history. Yeah. Cohabitation outstrips it, increasing the likelihood of D-I-V-O-R-C-E.
That's right.
How can we stop it? We've got to stop it. So that's why we need to do something about it. Mm-hmm. And anyway, you know, just it goes on to say that polygamy and its known historical association with violence toward women is rising. Fatherless homes persist.
Right.
4 in 10 children are born to unmarried parents. I think it's more than that because, I mean, I sat down, you know, at the Women's Center here in Tulsa and I saw it firsthand, and make that 7 in 10 for African American children. So we need to really say, President Trump, the most important priority. I mean, all these other things are important too, but if we don't get the family back on track and back to the foundation of our, and the bedrock of our society,
right,
we are done.
Listen, okay. So we live by rules every day.
Yes.
We're governed by rules.
Well, we're supposed to anyway.
Right. Well, let's take it all the way back to when Moses was up on Mount Sinai and God, the finger of God, wrote the Ten Commandments. Okay. Let's just get all the way back to the pure where it all started. Mm-hmm. The first four commandments, those concern, those are written for basically our relationship to God and with God.
And what are those? Would you go through them, please?
Well, I don't know them in order, but let me finish here.
Okay.
And then three are directly related to the family. three of them. Okay. So you have 10 commandments. Out of that three, this is how God is. Out of that Party. Three.
Him first.
What? Him first. And then what next? The family.
Okay? That's correct. And marriage.
Yes.
Yes.
The fifth commandment says to honor one's father and mother, the family foundation. Get that. Mm-hmm. The seventh commandment says, you shall not commit adultery. Imagine that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thus preserving the sacred nature of the family. The 10th commandment says, you shall not covet. And that speaks of God's command for fidelity of the heart. For within a family, it's not good nor godly to covet what others have, including a different family. Hello.
Or a different woman.
Or a different man. Exactly. Exactly. I mean,
your neighbor, do not covet what your neighbor has.
Yes.
And that includes the wife or husband.
Absolutely. So you can pull it all the way forward to the New Testament, when Jesus talks about in Matthew 15:19, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality.
Yes.
Sexual immorality.
Yes.
Theft, false witness, and slander. Okay. So actions proceed from the heart's intent, and God is all about preserving the family that he created. He therefore gets all the glory for it. So we can go all the way back, take it all the way back to Moses. If it was important to God, it should be important to us, one would think.
If God is important to us.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
If we reverently fear God, because that's one of the things that came up in Carl Lentz's, one of the podcasts that I mm-hmm. listened to, when he was talking to somebody about the sin. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it might have been, I don't remember which pastor it was. I don't think it was him specifically, but it was like, well, do you love God and do you love Jesus? And he said, I never stopped loving God or Jesus, but it was about loving themselves more and what they wanted. Mm-hmm. And it really had nothing to do. He stated this, that it has nothing to do really with the sexual part of it. It has more to do with the trauma that is rooted inside a person and addiction. He talked about, you know, the addiction stuff as well. So
that wrapped up with that spirit we talked about last time of narcissism, because in my mind, when I watched listened to the same podcast, you can tell he has a sense of arrogancy. You know what I mean? And I think at that point in time, he was up on a pedestal. And there were women that were just worshiping the ground he walked on.
Oh my gosh, that reminds me. You know who can stop all this stuff?
Who's that, Cinderella?
Oh my goodness. Okay, ladies, I if people get their feelings hurt because of this, so be it.
Right.
Okay. Women can stop every bit of it. We are the key to stopping it. And let me tell you why. Okay. If a man doesn't have an available person, a woman, mm-hmm. to do this with, what do you think he might do?
Look elsewhere.
He might look within his own home.
Sure.
Okay. So women that get involved. And, you know, we've talked about this before, mm-hmm. that back in the day when we were growing up, and I mean, I said that I dated someone and found out they were married. And I mean, it was off
instantly.
I could never, ever. And I thought I was in love with him. I mean, we had so much fun. I thought he was in love with me, all of that stuff, but I could have never taken what belonged to another woman. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to say, shame on you if you do.
Listen.
Shame on you if you do.
What am I about to say?
And it's time to stop it. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, what I'm about to say is I've been struggling with this because I have a friend mm-hmm. who is in a relationship with a married man. And the sad part is she doesn't want a relationship as far as getting married or any of that. It's an ego It's an ego stroke for her. He strokes her ego. And she loves being his temptation.
Are you serious?
As a heart attack, I am. She loves being his temptation and she thinks it's funny. And of course she says, well, I would never want his wife to find out. You know, I'd never want to hurt somebody like that.
Oh thinking, my gosh. But what she doesn't know is she is hurting her.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because to become one flesh.
I know.
A woman knows. A woman, know. God gave them intuition.
That's how I'm saying here. It's not just all about men because women know what they're doing.
That's what I'm saying. Women are the key to it.
They are the key. They know what they're doing. That's why I'm using that example. Women know what they're doing. You can have something like the devil come at you like that. And you can do one or two things because it's all about choices, Cinderella.
It
you
is either about choices. Do it yes.
or you don't.
Yes.
So
agree.
Why are we in such a position that we want that ego stroked? And you know that's what Lentz was doing. You know that's what he got caught up in. You have all these women fawning over him. And not saying it's just the women's fault. I'm just saying he is responsible for his mistakes.
Right.
But
boy, I sure do feel sorry for his wife.
I do. I do. Absolutely. I do. And so,
but she's a very strong person.
Sure. Mm-hmm. She is. And, but that just what it kind of irritates me to the fact that when somebody is going through a divorce or they're separated or something like that, as a woman, the last thing I would want to insert myself into is a situation that involves a man who is married and has kids over here.
Well, you know why? It doesn't just affect the wife in the situation.
Right.
It affects the children.
Absolutely.
And if they've been married for, you know, a long period of time, and the longer period of time a couple has been married and they have a family, it is harder.
Oh, absolutely. Because there's more memories, there's more ties, there's more
history.
Love, history that's yes. been given. So it just breaks my heart knowing that it's not just men that do it. It is women too. And
women are the key.
We are the key. You can make choices. So it comes down to where Satan has aligned us in this world right now. It's not going to hurt anything. As long as that person doesn't find out, that's what I get from my friend. You know what I mean?
Or he's going through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
he makes good money. He's going through the divorce.
He makes a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Oh, that would be so nice to have that, live mm-hmm. like that, yep. that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, EI-20 says, don't forget they want your life.
Absolutely. They want your life. It's crazy. It is so crazy. And what is more astonishing to me is how someone can just step out of one role right into another with a matter of days. I mean, how do you go leading one life for all of these years and then 90 days later, you're off in a whole completely, I just can't wrap my brain around it, Cinderella. I don't know how that happens. And maybe it's just me, but I'm a person that I don't allow myself to fly by the seat of my pants like that, making decisions that I know are going to affect other people around. I don't understand how you could ever feel good about yourself to do that. I don't know.
And if those people have children, what are you teaching your children?
Yes. What are you lining them up for?
Or, you know, just your friends around you and they see you behave like that. It's a contagious kind of
vicious immoral cycle.
Yes.
It's awful.
Yes.
It's just awful. And that's what I was praying about the other night. I was like, okay, God, we got all these good things that I think that are happening with this administration, but how do we get back to the basics, back to these 10 commandments, back to those three commandments that evidently God thought was so important that he included them. Listen, you're going to face these things. And by these commandments, I'm your God. This is my word. I'm telling you not to do these things.
They're his commandments.
That's his commandments. So I'm like, how do we go from point A to point B? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't, I'm at a loss sometimes because I think, okay, it's almost like you take two good steps forward and then you take six steps back. You know what I mean? You think you've kind of put it out there enough to where people should understand, hey, listen, you have got to be accountable for your actions. You do. And if,
well, it says a lot about your character.
Yes, your character. In my brain, I'm thinking, what does God think? You know, because I'm imperfect. I've done some stupid things in my life. I've made some bad choices in my life. And I realize that I'm going to be accountable for those things. And were any of those choices anything that affected my children? Because the last thing that people think about when they get in these positions is, what are my children thinking? Because they're so self-absorbed.
Well, not just that, but when this sort of sin is committed, mm-hmm. I mean, Tony Evans said it best. I don't know if you remember that it goes on for 2,500 years, but it creates a cycle of the same sort of thing happening with the next one and the next one mm-hmm. and the next one and the next one. That's why it becomes a cycle. And so every time that it gets too attached to the next one, you add on 2,500 years to that lineage.
Right.
I mean, it's just the truth.
It's
so we've got to listen to his commandments. And, you know, I think about what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7. Mm-hmm. And it is,
that's a good scripture.
Yes. He talks about, it's concerning married life. And I'm just going to go down to the married. I give this command. And he says, I give this command. He says, not I, but the Lord, mm-hmm. not Paul, but
yeah.
the Lord.
Yeah.
And when he gives this command, this is what he says. A wife must not separate from her husband, but if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband.
Right.
And a husband must not divorce his wife. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then it says, to the rest, I say this, I, not the Lord. Okay. Paul says this. If any brother has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband that has been sanctified through his wife and the unbelieving wife that has been sanctified through her believing husband, otherwise, your children mm-hmm. would be unclean.
Preach.
But as it is, they are holy.
That's right.
So that's why it's so clear there that the husband and wife have such an effect if they do not follow what God commands for the entire family and the children.
Absolutely.
That's why
the children, we are to be an example for our children.
Yes.
Genesis 18:19. Abraham was to teach his children to do justice and righteousness. Okay. Jacob, Genesis 35:2. Jacob commanded his family to purge foreign gods and honor God alone. Purge foreign gods. Foreign gods to me could be social media, television, things that distract us from God. Joshua 24:15, Joshua chose for his entire house to follow the Lord. David, 2 Samuel 6:20, David blessed his household, his family. And Job 1:5, Job prayed for his children lest they sin. Cornelius in Acts 10:2, Cornelius was a devout man who feared God along with his whole household. So to me, family is nothing but the basis of God's word
and foundation.
Yes. And if we don't have that foundation, we're living like the man who built his house on sand.
Right.
We're just
shifting sand.
Yes. We're just waiting for that to be washed out. So we shouldn't be so surprised because the church, which I'm just going to speak it as it is, they just don't do a good job nowadays of giving the truth. Instead, they give a watered down message about the family. And I just don't like it. And I don't know how we change that other than what we're doing now, talking about it.
Yes. And we have to talk about it. And then we have to open the door to invite people in to have conversations about it. Because I think that we should make a plan to approach the churches first here in Tulsa and then nationwide.
Surely. I think it's great.
And invite them in for a conversation, which leads me to talk about, I will be interviewing, and hopefully you can join me, Beverly Willett, which is she's one of the partners of Coalition for Divorce Reform, within the next week or so.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yes. And we'll be talking about why get married, the subject, why get married. Mm-hmm. And she went through a divorce, and she thinks that divorce needs to be taken back to fault divorce instead of no fault divorce, based upon the 14th Amendment. Then I spoke with her partner, Chris, last night for over 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And I know what his whole view is of it. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see if the three of us can't work together. And I know that you'll join me, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And we need to invite other people in to join us as well, but especially the churches and marriage educators and marriage counselors.
Yes.
Okay. So that's where we would like to go. And any other woman that wants to come with and be a part of this, I said, come on.
Yes. Even a man.
Yes.
If you have something to say from your point of view, we would love to hear it. We can do this. We can go back and forth, and our mission here is basically trying to
save the family.
Yes. Get the family back on track. Trying to make things happen in a world that's kind of gone crazy right now.
Not kind of gone crazy, where the family's concerned, it's gone really crazy.
Absolutely.
So I think that if we can do that, we will be going in a better direction and the right direction to reach our destination.
Absolutely.
Of making marriage and family great again.
Sounds great.
So until next time, I will see you then. And everyone, look forward to the Beverly Willett conversation.
Absolutely. It's going to be great.
Why get married? Until then, Sandy.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
If you enjoyed the show today, share it with your friends so they can listen in to our conversations about life, love, and relationships. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Cinderella Chats, the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. We look forward to our Tuesdays together and know you will too.